Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 61 of TYH, a podcast supposedly dedicated to youth issues. My name is Anglo, and with me I have the nigga who has more whips than Kunta, Nike.
Unwaveringly dedicated to youth issues.
Well, there's nothing more pertinent to youth than interior crocodile alligator from 10 years ago.
Good times.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're an early zoomer.
What video do you associate with it? Well, I remember on YouTube there's a video of this black guy like eating Cheerios and it was a loop. It was this famous skateboarder, actually.
I associate it from the F board on 4chan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was just this video of this black guy eating, was it cereal? And that's all it was.
Oh, was it like,
it was an endless
I
loop.
Think I remember one popular gif of like some nigga just chewing with his mouth open a box of Apple Jack or like a bowl of Apple Jack.
Yeah, exactly. Like that was
like,
it.
Or like Fruit Loops.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And he's just letting the milk drain out of his mouth as he's like chomping, like very exaggerated, not even looking at the camera. He's like looking behind it.
Yeah, well, that was from a famous skateboarder actually at that time. I don't know if he still skates, but I remember him. He's actually very funny.
That's totally a skateboard video, dude. Like, just the style of it.
Yeah. Well, did it have the fisheye?
Not in that scene, but like, it may as well have just the way that he was positioning his face.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same way. It's the same way that like old Tyler the Creator, Odd Future put out content. It's just basically the same thing as skater.
Yeah, skater video videos. Content. Well, that's what they did. They were like the skater.
It's like style skater videos without the skating. Like,
yeah,
you know, he skates, but he's just not skating when he's on camera when you watch him.
Yeah, they're just like harassing people in public.
Yeah,
or eating at.
I remember seeing a video of Tyler the Creator in Japan.
Oh no, come on. I don't want to.
It's just like, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I'm just guessing what he was doing there. And a barack of people!
Basically that, yes. He was just walking up to random people in Japan, like, I think particularly old people, and he's just like, guess where I'm from? Guess where I'm from? Not around here!
Baraka demon, come out of the sky.
Yeah. Baraka man, go home.
Baraka man, go home.
Tyler the Creator's content was funny, but you know he's like a ironic, ignorant
black gentleman.
So yeah, for whatever that means, in effect, he's promoting the ignorance. So I guess it's destructive in that sense, but like it's still fucking funny because you know he knows better.
Yeah, well, you know, there's some black people who are like, nigga, I like that ignorant shit. And they just say it.
Oh, yeah, no. I knew people exactly like that.
Man, I just like that ignorant music. I don't need that thinking, like, rap, man, or that, like, philosophizing and shit.
Sometimes you just let loose and go for that ignorance.
I like how they call it just ignorance.
Well, yeah, because that's what their parents say. That's ignorant. That's ignorant.
Man, that'd be ignorant.
Over where I'm from, like, if they don't have the best English, they say that's ignorant.
It's ignorant in it, mate.
But yeah, so, you know, their strict parents will be like, oh, this is ignorant. And then they whip their ass.
More whips than Kunta.
And make them turn off that music. But the kids, they still like it, even though they know better.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing from the going back to the Chip the Ripper freestyle, like when he says, "I drive a Chevrolet movie theater," it sounds like he's like saying it like a British person theater.
But it's not just any British; it's very posh.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to the theater and watch Chip the Ripper perform. Big, quite a delight indeed.
Smashing.
Indeed. The American Negroes really sort of know how to do this music. It's rather intriguing. So if you guys know, we're a big fan of Jazz Jennings.
You like jazz?
We do like Jazz Jennings because she's a brave girl who's undergoing transition. If you guys don't know, she is a male to female transgender woman who has her own TV show.
Woman, but this is a child we're talking about.
Well, she officially turned 18 recently, I think. But yeah, the show She's had her own show since she was like 14. Jazz Jennings, if you guys didn't know, she had her gender reassignment surgery recently. But what happened was that apparently after they did a little snipping here and there on the good old hot dog and turned it into a vagine, apparently the stitches got undone. And I don't even want to know what that means. Like, it all came apart, essentially. Her fake vagine all came apart.
He ripped his gooch.
Yes. So they had to do another surgery on top of that. And basically, they gave her the sad news of, well, your vagine is not going to look like a vagine. It's going to be ugly. So.
Wow. As if it wasn't already bad.
I know.
Like, the ideal outcome was it won't look like a real vagina.
Yeah.
And then you're like, all right.
It's going to look even worse than that.
Compared to, like, the best plastic surgery can do, it will not be convincing.
Yeah.
I guess they must have left this poor human being with just the gaping wound.
I guess so. Isn't that what it is, though?
Well, that's how the body treats it, but like this time, even more so.
Yeah, more because, like, it's more obviously.
You can't mistake it for anything but a wound.
Yeah, and
presumably, like, it's not like you've seen it or I've seen it. There's no pictures of this, is there? Like,
no, I don't. I don't want there to be.
I really hope that there is just like absolutely no way that they would stoop that low. I mean, they already show enough of their personal life on fucking TV, on cable, on a mainstream channel. Like, they could at least not show the damage, as it were.
Well, yeah, this was all on TV. It was actually playing in my house. All my sisters were watching it, unfortunately. But it was, you know, it was a tragedy. But she also did some tweets, or he did some tweets about this event. Which really puts it into a nasty perspective. She's also from a Jewish family, by the way.
How does it feel, Shlomo? Was it worth it? Was it worth pushing the pause?
Okay, here's a tweet from Jazz Jennings from 3 days ago. My vagina looks so bad that my mom, sister, and the surgeons wouldn't even let me look at it.
Oh,
eventually, I used a compact mirror to get a peek. Oh, and God. All I could do was laugh. If only you guys knew.
Well, you know, I guess there's only one of two options at that point, and it's either to an hero or laugh. I guess that's Jazz Jennings is part of the 20% that does an an hero right away.
Here's another tweet from this amazing strong woman. In life, everything is about attitude and perspective. Even though my vagina falling apart was the hardest thing I ever experienced. It's not hard anymore, buddy. I knew
Isn't that just so hashtag relatable?
Yeah. That feel when your vagina falls apart?
Literally same, girl. Literally same.
Yes, queen. I hate when my vagina falls apart.
I just hate that. This is fucking worse.
I hate when it falls apart and it just turns back into a cut and a half hot dog. I knew that one day I would be fully healed and recovered. I had to adopt the mindset of my future self and know in my heart that everything would be okay.
Not this again.
But to put this into perspective, this person, I think... Okay, you know how TV shows, they take a while to air. This surgery, I think, actually happened like 6+ months ago. So I think she was still under 18 at the time. But she has been told her whole life, even though she's a biological male, starting from... like the age of 8, that he's a female. Mm-hmm. And I keep on messing this up, but he was given hormones, estrogen, at a very, very young age. And what that allowed to do to her body, it allowed her penis to not form properly.
Ugh.
So he has
artificial micro dick.
Yeah, she has a G.G. Allen penis. That's probably one reason why she couldn't have a vagine because of that situation, because they probably don't have enough stuff to work with. It's gross to think about, but she started dating recently after the surgery, and it's a black guy.
boy, is he in first row. Oh, nigga, you gay!
And this black guy's mom is not very happy about him dating her for good reason.
I ain't know my son was sweet like that. Shit. Man. I ain't raised no sweet nigga.
Man, I ain't raised you to be that ignorant.
I'm gonna beat his ass.
His name's like Rakim, too, and he has dreads.
Oh my god. That is fucking Weimar.
And there's a... I don't think the episode has aired yet, but there was a preview.
You can turn on TLC to see failed tranny Jew date Laquandius Jackson with the thick dreads.
So there is a preview for this episode, which hasn't aired yet. Her parents are like, I'm so excited to meet Rakim. Yay! Yeah, my boy who got his micro penis cut up into pieces. I'm going to meet his black boyfriend, and I'm excited. Cut my micro into pieces.
Oosh.
Speaking of Weimar, TLC tweets when this episode was aired, the first female gender confirmation surgery was performed on Dora Richter in Berlin, Germany in 1931.
Of course.
Yes. So this is definitely some Weimar type stuff. And I like this tweet from her brother. My sister finally has the vagina. She has been waiting for her hole. What he meant was for her whole life, but he accidentally omitted.
Instead, he accidentally was like left it with that Freudian slip there.
Yeah.
Waiting for her hole. Well, yeah. I guess the wait is over. It's there and it's imploded.
I'm so proud of you for staying strong and overcoming all obstacles. You truly inspire me to be the best person and brother I can be. Love you. From Sander. Sander!
Jazz mentally might have stayed strong, but I guess those sutures didn't hold up.
And someone with a Rick and Morty avatar says, wow, we love a supportive brother.
Wow.
Getting the packing, dressing, and catheter removed and seeing my vagina for the first time is the most incredible moment. I was astounded at how beautiful and real it looked. But then, this is before it collapsed in on its...
Nigga, you thought?
God's like, nope.
You like how it looks? Oh, how about now?
Hey, you like this? Nah. Too bad.
You still think...
Goodbye.
The juice was worth the squeeze.
Oh no! Ew, don't use that terminology. What kind of a
unreal?
What kind of a psychopath of a father, or not psychopath, but maybe emasculated? How emasculated of a man do you have to be to allow this to happen to your son?
You have to be an American Jew, I guess. You think they'd let this shit fly if you know, you're like a third? If Jazz was a third generation Israeli,
No.
They would not let that shit happen.
Yeah, American Jews.
Like, sure, there's like the whole like gay scene of Tel Aviv, but like those are not people who have been in Israel since its founding.
There has to be a conservative somewhere who says, well, look how amazing Israel is compared to all the other countries in the world, meaning the Middle East.
Shit, dog, that's what I was brainwashed to think as a kid.
They have Tel Aviv where they can have public gay orgies. Basically what a gay pride parade is. Anyways, that's what I meant.
I mean, look, the only reason I thought Israel and Jews were cool as a kid was because I thought they hated gays as much as I did. So yeah, there might be a conservative contingent in Israel, but it wasn't as universal as I once thought it was. If you had been in the same political milieu as I had as a young kid, then you would have only known the Israel that people like, I don't know, Mike Huckabee present. And that Israel is like the one that's our greatest ally against liberalism and degeneracy. The one that, you know, that shares our Judeo-Christian values and, you know, is here to fight the disgusting forces of perversion in the world. And little did my young mind know that, these supposed allies in the the fight against immorality and sin were its progenitors and its were its origins.
My pro-Israeli beliefs weren't very strong. I was just like, oh yeah, Israel. If we're talking about Israel versus Palestine, we support Israel because they're a liberal democracy and we're a progressive country, and you know we need to ally ourselves with another.
For me, it wasn't even that. It was just like these motherfuckers who attacked us on 9/11. And that we've been fighting for years in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, these same people are now like firing rockets at our quote unquote greatest ally in Israel. It was back during the war between Hezbollah and Israel. And like, yeah. I heard rocket attacks on the news and read stories about, you know, bomb proof schools that they were building in Israel. And like, little did I know that these rocket attacks schools were like, you know, bottle German rockets that are just like denting the hood of a car. You know, I mean, that was effective propaganda at the time for the neocons. And it really worked because, you know, where was child-aged me going to find anything different but the mainstream media? It wasn't. And it wasn't mainstream just kids. Wasn't just kids only getting news from the mainstream media. It was adults, too. Like, there wasn't any alternative media that was widely known about or discussed in normal adult spheres at the time. It's not like my parents knew any better, either. I mean, they were... The only reason I understood what I saw was because I watched the media that they were consuming. And okay, so there were no alternatives, and that was what people knew to be the undisputed truth. Seeing the lies therein was like the formative basis of my resentment to being lied to later on when I would find that, wow, some of these things
niggas are gay.
Total exaggerations, if not outright lies. Our uncle once said, I'll paraphrase, gradually my views of them began to change.
I viewed myself, right, as almost like a progressive, but I didn't like how Muslims weren't progressive enough. And so I took that kind of Geert Wilders type thing, that kind of, because really, in Holland, that's how he is. He's basically a progressive who doesn't like Muslims. Or an American progressive, that is. Not like a leftist or anything, but, you know, he supports...
That was pretty gay of you.
Yeah, it was. Well, it's because I didn't really know... I never really thought about what gay people did. Even though I was like 16 or 17, I didn't think about what gay people were doing.
Oh, wow. That was older than me at the time. No, I was much younger than that, but I was like hardcore Stalinist. And like, my favorite thing about Stalin was that he executed homosexuals.
Yeah.
You know, what I liked about Stalin under the history and information that I was presented was that, like, you know, he stopped the evil Nazis and he killed the gays. Hell yeah. That's what I want. That's what I was like all about, you know. The core values of America are fighting back against evil like the Nazis and fighting against the fags.
But now we have the White House with the gay flag.
Now things are very different. It was a very different world than I knew at the time, and that I would come to know better as I grew up. That, you know, despite his initial, let's say, liquidation of the homosexuals in the Soviet Union, that Stalin, either wittingly or unwittingly, would side with the forces of seemingly unending hegemonic neoliberalism. And, you know, that alliance was the end of one powerful resistant force to it, which was the, you know, the National Socialists in Germany.
Yep.
Imagine if that were still around today. You don't have to have the full fucking Lebensraum, Third Reich, LARP empire. If you just had the same borders of Germany that you do today, and you still had that first influence of Adolf Hitler leaving its mark on the political legacy to this day, I mean, it would be a much different world, and you wouldn't have this European Union as we know it today, if it could even exist at all, which, spoiler alert, it wouldn't, because the only reason they made it was so there wouldn't be another war between Germany and France.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you did have it, and whatever reason it would have formed, it would be far more ideologically pluralistic than it is now. Like,
yeah,
as it exists today, it is just an extension of NATO liberalism.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as Dugin puts it, Atlanticism. And it would have actually, you know, engendered a field of debate, a platform of debate of ideas. It would have been a marketplace of ideas for ideologies between the many nations of Europe. A place to say why your people have got it right, instead of, like, why your people need to capitulate and fall back in line to the capitalist, Jewish, globalist world order.
Yeah. Why, now you just gotta sit back and watch porno all day, goy, like they do in Germany. You know?
It's not like anyone would expect that the National Socialism of the 40s would still be the same thing in place today if, you know, the Germans weren't reconstructed.
Yeah, yeah.
The same way that Peronism evolved, so too would National and Socialism in Germany evolve to more of a nominal ideology than a hard and fast set of doctrines.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, it would have adapted for whatever events come along the way. I mean, who's to say what would have happened had the Allies, you know, been forced to surrender and accept the terms that Germany put forth? I mean, presumably just taking, like, reclaiming Danzig and, I don't know, installing a puppet
Skyrim mod
state in France. That would have been about the most of it, presumably.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what that timeline would look like, but I bet it would follow the same sort of ideological evolution as Peronism, aka justicialism, then just being the same thing forever and ever and ever. You know, it would fit in with our times today had that continuity existed.
But the Germans had to be destroyed.
Yes, they had to be destroyed, and in that process, the one of the last bastions against liberalism would be surrendered. And yeah, now we're here. No point in really thinking about the alternative futures and counterfactuals, because we are where we are.
We live in our situation.
We live in our society.
Where Jazz Jennings could have a...
We live in the Jazz Jennings society.
Yeah,
and
it sucks.
There's no getting around that. The only thing to do is to address that society as it is, not try to reform it as a re-envisionment of the past or a pseudo ideological vision for the future. It's going to take a real fundamental change of worldview for this to end. And that can only happen with the fundamental rejection of liberalism.
I just thought it was, if we smoked weed and watched V for Vendetta, then we'd have a complete paradigm shift in terms of ideology. And we would live in a nice society.
Have a complete paradigm shift in terms of your current body fat percentage, but I don't think much else beyond that.
No. All I want to do,
That's going to be the new fight for 15. 15% of your body weight is fat.
Fight for 15. In the Islamic world, fight for 15 means raise the polygamy limit. From 13 to 15.
Nah, all them niggas on the fight for 72.
Oh, yeah. I can't say this word. The Hafebophiles fight for 15 for the age of consent change.
Hafebophiles.
There we go. Hebophiles.
I don't know.
Is that a coincidence? I think not. Yeah. All Hafebophiles are Hebophiles.
That's solidarity for the fight for 15.
Yeah.
That's the wage cuck Islamist libertarian trichotomy.
You know what I saw today? It was at Target.
What's that?
I saw someone with a shirt that said, "I'm socially anxious."
Really?
And
was it for men or women?
It was a female.
Oh, was it's somebody like, wearing it, or like was it on the shelves?
No, oh yeah, someone was wearing it. Sorry, I should have made that clear. But someone was wearing a shirt that says, I'm socially anxious. It's like, well, now I'm like focusing on you.
Despite your first instincts, like you're not supposed to respond to that because like they can't handle it, right?
But it's a type of attention, right?
I mean, obviously,
whenever I had social anxiety as a kid, I didn't want people to focus on me.
If you're putting like a coherent message on your clothing, obviously you expect other people to read it. Otherwise, what's the point? There is no point. You have to have an implicit understanding of how appearance works as a concept.
Hey, what was your favorite like Walmart shirt? You know what I'm talking about? Those ones that had words on it. Like, I'd rather be gaming than doing homework.
I never had like any like text T-shirts, but like I've had Walmart purchased graphic tees before.
Yeah.
You know?
I had a Mario graphic tee.
Did you buy it at Walmart?
No. Forgot where it was. It was some retail store, though. And it had, like, the evolution of Mario. It showed him of how he appeared in the Super Mario Brothers from the Nintendo, then Super Nintendo, then the Nintendo 64, and then how he looks now on, like, the DS or whatever the fuck was around then.
Huh.
I also had a shirt that just had a Game Boy on it. I also had a shirt that just said Wii, like the Nintendo Wii. Yeah, just said Wii. I never had like those tech shirts. I just wonder if you did, like the text, like, I'd rather be eating mac and cheese than doing homework. Am I right? I'd rather be reading Imperium.
I had a secondhand shirt from a family friend that was...
I'd rather be in Greece.
The Vote for Pedro shirt from Napoleon Dynamite.
I had that. No, please don't remind me. I had that shirt.
Was that the first graphic tee
in existence, or that I've had, or what?
As a platonic form of graphic T-shirt.
No, they've been around. Like, what do you mean? That's like a 70s style shirt.
Like graphic tees as graphic tees, because like graphic T-shirts are like a meme, right?
Yeah.
And was that the first shirt to present this format in an explicitly memetic referential way?
Oh, I don't know. May have been.
I think so.
Did you ever have a Dragon Ball Z shirt?
No. The only cartoon shirts I had were either SpongeBob or Rocket Power.
I remember when that first aired, actually.
It was a good show. I liked it.
Wasn't there like a Hawaiian on there or something?
Yeah.
They lived in like a restaurant? I forgot. I don't remember it.
I don't think they live at the
restaurant.
And they
like skateboarded and stuff? And there's a Canadian guy everyone made fun of?
The father there, you know, runs a restaurant / skate shop.
Where does it take place at? Is it in Hawaii?
No, it's in California.
Oh, yeah.
It's like very, very coastal California. Like literally they live on the beach practically, like a beach suburb.
Yeah, the best show of all time when I was a kid was none of the shows because I wasn't degenerate. I've always been pure. I never watched cartoons. I would just read Heidegger all day.
There's your IQ round of applause.
IQ, yes, I've always...
For being such a smart kid.
Smart kid. I was reading Heidegger, Nietzsche, and...
Nietzsche?
Yeah.
Nikachu?
Nigachu? Nigga, look at you!
Look at the top of his head.
Nigga. Why you got a lightning bolt as a tail?
Pokemon was a good-ass show, let me tell you what.
I didn't watch it at all when I was a kid. I don't think I've ever seen a whole episode.
Wow.
I just thought it... No, it was Dragon Ball Z, dude. Pokemon was lame.
Look, Dragon Ball is boring as shit. And
well, not for me. I loved it.
Like, I could never get into that show as a kid. Like, it was just like, fuck this. I'm going to sleep. Or I'm going to play PlayStation instead.
Yeah.
But, like, if there was Pokemon on, or if there was Yu-Gi-Oh, I'll be watching that.
No, I was Dragon Ball Z all the way. I was always on the internet just looking at Dragon Ball Z fan art. And I remember one day it's like when we first got our printer, I was so excited. I printed out Dragon Ball Z pictures, like fan art. I brought it to school. Like, look at me with my Dragon Ball Z fan art. That wasn't mine, but it was, you know, early 2000s fan art from some website. I would constantly draw like Goku. That was my thing. And my wall was covered with pictures that I drew of, like, wow. Dragon Ball Z scenes.
You was one of them niggas, huh?
Yeah, that was me. Why? Were you? What would you draw? Nothing?
What did I draw? I had, like, a little cartoon that I would draw.
Oh, you're one of those niggas. You had your own cartoon with, like, your characters and stuff.
With my stick figure characters? Hell yeah.
Oh, stick figure, man? That's nothing. That's
it would
basic.
Just be like my commentary on random things. Mostly it was just like, you know, random acts of gratuitous violence. I mean, there wasn't like a narrative I was trying to present in my cartoon series from like elementary school. Cartoons are cool. Let me draw my own. I know how to write words. I can make a basic like 5 to 16 panel cartoon. Let's do that, and it'll be funny. God, I wish I could find something from that time. I would do it on a loose leaf.
Do you know, you remember those kids in high school that were like 17 and a little slow and they still did stuff like that?
Oh, God.
It's kind of, yes. It was always, not to make fun of them, but it was sad, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel too bad for them because they just had their thing and it was, I mean, there's worse levels of cringe you can be on. Like, at least they're doing something that, like, you can theoretically make a career out of, you know?
No, I'm talking about people that make, like, very naive and artistic sense. Like,
I know,
like,
I know.
Like children's art.
So, not everybody ends up as Chris Chan Sonichu if they're, like, mediocre or, like, amateur artists or cartoonists in high school, right? Like, most people, if that's, like, the first time they're actually getting into it hardcore and, like, trying to learn solid techniques and improve their skills and product, like, they can get better. It's definitely possible. But there's some niggas out there, like the Chris Chans of the world, few and sparse as they may be, that will just always plateau at, like, I don't know.
10
fourth
years old.
Grade.
Yeah.
And they will be fourth grade with, like, adult hormones for the rest of their fucking life. And it will be unending cringe. And you will just, I don't know, it'll make you feel an existential crisis on their behalf.
Yeah.
Because it's like, holy shit, how are you still putting yourself in public?
No, there's this kid that was literally autistic. I mean, like, medium functioning. But he could draw amazingly.
That's cool.
It was photorealistic, like, beyond anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I remember the first time I saw, like, this girl's drawings from my grade, like, a really young age, and I'm like, holy shit, incredible.
Yeah.
And she wasn't autistic.
This guy was autistic. He didn't know what was going on. Well, he knew what was going on.
God, now that I think, sorry, go ahead.
No, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, now that I think about that particular person and remember it, I was actually married to this girl in this, like, little skit that we did. That was fun. Good times.
I remember when people would do fake marriages.
No, it was like for like a little play.
Oh, okay.
But it was fun.
I remember the Asian guy got married to this Italian girl.
Just public school things.
Yeah, just public school things.
Interracial relationships and in the kids' play.
I brought this up on a show once, but it was funny. When I was in seventh grade history class, it wasn't a play, but we were watching my history professor, my history teacher, set up the desks in the room in the shape of like a ship, and he put us all in the middle, in between the desks, like we're
slaves.
Yeah, and he was walking around on the top of the desks, spraying us with water, while we're watching a video of of black people, slaves, going through the middle passage and dying.
Well, yeah, I guess the video playing at the same time makes it, like, really fucked up. But if it were just a little thing where you were just, you know, inside of the imaginary boat and you're getting sprayed by the teacher walking on the desk, that'd be funny. I'd like that.
Yeah, he was just spraying us water.
Making me watch a video at the same time. That's like propaganda, dude. That's like fucking.
Oh, yeah, totally. But it's so absurd that it makes me laugh. So Nikkei's gonna have me live react to something. What is it, buddy?
Famous actor Liam Neeson has been brought back into the headlines as of late. The reason for being so is that seemingly without a warrant or prompting, Liam Neeson said in a recorded interview in a promotion for a new movie he's in that at one point in his life, he wanted to randomly beat to death the first black person he saw.
Whoa.
So I guess what had happened was that a friend of Liam's had been raped. And he asks her, you know, who did this to you? Basically asking for like physical characteristics. And I guess one of the first few questions that he says is like, what color is he? And she says black. And apparently upon hearing this, he like got this metal pole that you could club somebody with and started walking around like the black areas of town, hoping that somebody would try to assault him or rob him. So he could just whip out his club and beat that
black gentleman.
He just thought it was the right time to let the world know that, like, yeah, at one time I was so full of rage that I just wanted to beat the living shit out of the next darky to cross my path.
It's like he's like Mark Wahlberg beating
up. How the fuck is that like Mark Wahlberg? How is that anything like Mark Wahlberg?
He beat up that yellow guy.
So what is the context to Mark Wahlberg beating up an Asian person?
But he said like racial things during it. What, didn't he? He was like, it was racist attack.
I don't know if these are quite comparable, man.
Okay.
Like Liam Neeson in total clear conscious of just the only thing on his mind was the rage and the...
He was Moon Man for a second.
The primordial urge to defend this woman's honor. You know, these are the only two things motivating his actions. Led him to try to go pick a fight with some hood niggas in Belfast and kill them on the spot with his hands and a weapon. You know, I mean, beating somebody to death, that ain't no joke. You got to do that very intentionally. And he had every intention of doing that, so he claims. And it's like...
Why do you bring this up?
It beats me, dude. No pun intended.
Good thing he didn't beat you.
Yeah.
He would have beat you there. He's like, what's this Greek doing here?
In Belfast. It came up like during this interview.
This one time media. I wanted to beat up niggas. It was you know.
I guess somebody asked him about where he gets the motivation or like what he draws his energy from when he needs
my motivation
to, like,
is beating up niggers.
Play somebody in like a mindset that is driven by revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he brought up this story to sort of highlight his own personal source of, you know, vendetta and how he transfers that from his own life onto the screen. There's, you know, I don't even know if this is real or not. He could be making this whole thing up for all we know. Because he never actually assaulted anybody. He just like tried to like, you know,
get in a situation.
He intentionally put himself in places where he knew black people would be, and I guess at the time had convinced himself that black people would just like harass him if he was there. And well, that's assuming any of this even happened. But I'm gonna take his word for it that like you don't just make up a story about wanting to like, you know, attack minorities. if you don't mean it, especially if you're talking about yourself.
Yeah.
So taking him at his word, like he was just trying to find the next feral nog who wants to get his hands on whatever is in his wallet just so he could beat him. Sort of like a twist on that scene from American Psycho, where instead of it's just like some dude begging for money that he stabs to death. It's somebody trying to rob him that he can finally like have the legal justification to beat to death.
Yeah. Never seen that movie, by the way.
Really? You've never seen American Psycho?
Nope.
Wow. You need to see that. That is a really cool movie. All right. Next episode, you're going to have watched American Psycho and you're going to tell me what you think.
Really?
Yes.
Where do they have it? Do they have it on Netflix or something?
Nigga, go to your library.
Library to get DVDs? What am I, homeless? Black, I mean?
Yes. You are a college student, man. You need to get what you're already paying for. I didn't pay to watch American Psycho. I got it from my school library.
I only paid $20,000 to watch American Psycho.
I got a lot more than that out of it, but I reaped all the benefits.
No, yeah.
Yeah, you know, pro tip, if you don't remember Nats Declassified, Get as much free food off of your campus as possible, because it's not free. You've already paid for it with your tuition and fees. So, yeah, like, yeah, any club that you see, you know, offering, like, free pizza like, you know, spaghetti dinner, go and get your food, King. You deserve it. You paid for it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's going to get the actual value of the money you've put up. And these fucking schools they take us to the damn cleaners each time we have to pay for another semester to go there. So yeah, you might as well get your money's worth. And, you know, if you want to do the real cost benefit analysis of all that, you can see how much of what you're paying is going to specific fees, and you can see where those fees go by looking at the budgets at your university or your college, whichever. Mm-hmm. And depending on how it's distributed, you can recuperate that value in the things that they offer, such as pizza.
Pizza, man.
Make sure to go to that gym that you're paying for after you eat that pizza. Because that is another thing that you're paying for. You're paying for access to the gym, and you better damn well use it.
Yeah, nigga.
See, I respect these niggas out here, like, looking like they reading a book on a treadmill an elliptical.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're actually reading it or if they're just turning pages to look cool, but I think they are reading it because they look very committed to it.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, then you're way better than I am, because I'm not reading shit if I'm on a treadmill or an elliptical. Like, you kidding me? No. Not even close, dude. If I'm looking at words while trying to exercise on a machine like that, I can read the words because I'm not a retard, but I'm not going to be like comprehending a story or a narrative.
It's gonna be like your ADD. So,
yeah, no. Exactly. No, it's definitely ADD. Are you kidding me? ADD. It's like the worst conditions for ADD possible. Like, there's so much stimuli going on around me, like everyone else working out or, you know, whatever music they're playing at the gym, or God forbid they have a live TV on at the gym. No way. I couldn't do it. I see people doing it and I don't even try because I don't want to try. I don't go to the gym to read books. I go to the gym to, like, exercise.
To read my body.
Like, and sweat. There's
you no already do that purpose. As a Greek. You already just naturally sweat anyways.
I can listen to things, but I can't read things. I'm going to just make myself sick trying to read. Look, we're in February now. Big nigga season's ending. And we are entering into the springtime, which is fit nigga season. And which inevitably leads into summertime, which is jack nigga season. And if you can't keep up with the cycle, you know, is you a real nigga or is you a bitch nigga? That's the question.
I'm a real nigga.
Well, real niggas gonna keep up with the cycle then. So
real niggas keep up with the Kardashians.
Word to a real nigga, big nigga season ending, y'all better get into the gym.
I'll go to the gym.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
If you give me some money.
Yes, we could use your donations. We highly appreciate it. Right now, we're relegated to the confines of archive.org. While they will also humbly accept your donations, their donor base has got some, let's call it economies of scale compared to ours. Mm. And so we would appreciate your donations, which you can find the Bitcoin wallet address, right? That's what we got?
Yes, yes, yes.
We'll take your Bitcoin in the address posted below. If you don't have any Bitcoins, well, I mean...
Get some.
You could get some if you really want to support us. But if you do have Bitcoins that you'd like to liquidate, consider your philanthropy and give it to us. Yeah. And we can improve the hardware which our dear friend Anglo here uses to record this wonderful production. For every $5 equivalent that we receive in the rest of the month of February, I will add another 5 pounds to my bench press.
Oh!
There's my gym pledge. So if you want to increase my bench press by 5 pounds extra, give us $5 in Bitcoin and I'll do it.
Yeah. 5 whole Bitcoins, by the way. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think that's how it works. That'd be nice. Holy shit. I cannot lift that much. Please do not give us 5 Bitcoin. I will not fulfill my promise. Yeah. That is way too much to add at one time. I can promise you I will fail that, which is why I proposed $5 increments, something I can actually do. But a whole Bitcoin's worth of added weight might be some trouble for me.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about, Nikkei?
I don't know if you noticed this or not, but this week there's several different wedding proposals on alt-light Twitter.
Yeah, proposals like proposals to kick out the Jews from the country?
No, nothing of the sort. In the slightest.
What type of proposals?
Wedding and marriage proposals. Oh, wedding. We saw the kickoff of Turning Point UKKKK. Just kidding. It's only Turning Point United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the leader, the founder, the Führer, Turning Point UK, is betrothed to none other than the illustrious and now infamous Candace Owens.
Ooh, yes.
And the National Socialist. We might be familiar with the African-American bride-to-be, it's interesting to note that she's now marrying this Brit-bong white guy.
Ah.
Chad is staking his claim.
Well, finally,
you can find him on Twitter. His name is George Farmer at GTS Farmer.
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 That's it. Farmer or former?
Farmer with an A.
Oh, okay. Cotton farmer.
Like, I'm a farmer and I grow cotton.
I'm a cotton farmer. I got down with one of my Negroes.
Candace Owens went from her ancestors picking white cotton to picking white cock.
Hey.
Straight out of England.
Yes, it's like Meghan Markle, whatever her name is. They got something for that Brit.
Interesting comparison. Yes, an apt one.
They got that scone. They like that scone. Am I right?
Is Charlie Kirk married?
I don't know. He's ugly. That's all that matters.
I wouldn't call him ugly. I just call him average. He's like a male 5.
Yeah. And that's ugly because I'm a male 10.
Ah, I see. Yes. See, here I am coping at a male 7.5.
Is there any other news? Indeed. Is there some other broad getting married?
Shit, there are, yeah. So, you know that one hoe on Twitter, that THOT, that hoe on Twitter.
Oh.
She, brought a gun to Kent State.
Oh, wow.
And didn't end up shooting niggas on sight like they did back in the day. Instead, she just, poses with it and puts it on Instagram or some dumb shit. And she's since become, a popular target of the chud left. They just,
chud
on Twitter.
What is chud?
Chud is, it's like doofus in Twitter leftist language.
Oh.
If you're like a grug on Twitter, these people will call you a chud.
Oh, okay, I see.
I don't know the actual origins, but it's just another inoffensive slur, as paradoxical as that might seem.
Well, because you can't say faggot or fat
retard.
Fuck, yeah.
when they say chud, they mean meat-headed retard. But because they can't call you a retard, they're just gonna have to invent a new term. And while we might have posed it as grug, they put it forth as chud. And these chud left posters are for several months after this Kent State photo shoot went viral, this girl Caitlin Bennett gets viral attention on the Twitters for being a female with a goon on the internet. And so obviously everyone rushes to pick her up and be like, oh wow, look, it's a girl who likes guns. Ah! We need this to prove we're right. It's just like this awful take that if you're any sort of social group not traditionally associated with the Tea Party conservative movement.
Yeah, yeah.
And you happen to advocate for conservative policies. Well, then you're the new god of mainstream conservative media. And so this up-and-coming neocon starlet has been proposed to by her boyfriend, who is, well, if only seen phenotypically, you would think he's a Jew. If you heard his last name, you'd be one to agree. But all other evidence points to the contrary. His biography on Twitter has a, you know, Bible verse from the New Testament quoted, Luke 1:37. One Justin Moldo.
Moldo.
His Twitter bio goes, boyfriend and manager for Kate Mario, which is Caitlin Bennett. Lifelong suffering Mets fan. Luke 1:37. For nothing is impossible with God. And before he put his account on private, I saw him with pictures, post selfies in his Mets hat with his crucifix out in front of his shirt. You know, so this guy's a Christian, but he looks very Jewish.
Maybe he's, what's that called? Messianic?
Converso?
Or one of the Messianic Jews?
Look, I can't tell you for sure, but as far as I knew, Messianic Jews are not ethnically Jewish.
There are some.
Like, they're LARPing, I think, a lot Caucasians.
I think it's mostly LARPing Caucasians, but a lot of the head honchos, I think, are ethnic Jews.
I believe that. I mean, that seems to be the case in a lot of things, don't you think?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that's been a trend, that the head honchos tend to be Jewish, while the laity tend to be goyim?
Yep.
Funny how that works. So she's getting married to this supposedly good Christian boy from New York.
New York. And oh yes.
I cannot find it now for the life of me, and it's such a pain. But in the same week, I saw a third instance of a proposal on the alt-light right. And in this proposal, it was basically this girl showing off her rock, yo, you know, getting them rang pics onto Twitter. And it's this girl with a obviously Nigerian name, so you know she can't be more than first generation citizen. And she looks the part too. Like, her skin tone is not mixed at all.
Yeah, it looks like coal.
You could say that, yeah. This Cole Quain is getting married in a MAGA hat.
Oh, wow.
Well, it wasn't like at the wedding, but it was at this like moment her boyfriend proposed. And, you know, this guy's this Chad archetype. He's like a good deal taller than this girl. And, you know, Nigerian women, they're not small. And he was much visibly taller than her. Blonde haired, blue eyed white man got his arms wrapped around Shaniqua Odagwu.
Odagwu,
something like that.
Uwu.
If you see a name like Odagwu,
Shaniqua Uwu.
if it ends in WU and it's not Asian, then Iblet, you know it's Nigerian. It's got to be Igbo Nigerian, I believe.
You know, I talk about people be ignorant. Some people just be Igbo.
Damn.
You not just be ignorant, you be Igbo. Man, what she building in Siberia, man, an Igbo.
You mean an igloo, my nigga?
No, yeah, whatever.
See, if you ever talk to a Yoruba Nigerian, they'd be saying the same shit. Like, Igbo, they be ignat, though. Even though, like...
So, Wignat, ignat.
No, look, here's the red pill on that. everyone is a Wignat.
That is the Red Pill.
Everyone on our side is a Wignat. And
yep.
There is nothing you can do to escape that. In the eyes of the enemy, you are a Wignat.
Yep.
And you can do with Agreed. That information what you will. But to
you can call us Wignats, but you'll still be a Wignat.
You are still a Wignat. To reference that one Pratt comic, Jesus told them, all of you are Wignats. None of you are free from Wignatatry. And they said, shut up, because they could not hear his message. But yes, you, dear listener, are a Wignat. I am a Wignat. You're a Wignat. We are all Wignats. If you question the foreign aid to Israel, you have crossed the line to Wignatatry. That is the line. If you think that 38 billion is $1 too many, you have crossed the Wignat line. You are one of us. And for better or worse, we got to work together to reach our goals. Because functionally, there is no difference between a Wignat and an optics cuck. This is the red pill. Functionally, you are the same. You will appeal to the same number of people. And that number of people is, by definition, limited to those on the right who will accept an alternative perspective on the Zionist state.
Nah, you're just Wignat, dude. Shut up.
I am a Wignat, and you're a Wignat, and you can't prove it otherwise. Prove to me you aren't a Wignat.
I wear a suit.
You are a Wignat in a tie.
Oh, shit.
Look at you. You're a fucking Wigger nationalist in a suit and tie, you fucking Wigger.
We're all
dirty suit and tied Wigger, you Burberry Wigger. What are you going to do about it, you Wignat?
Sorry.
We are all Wignats in the eyes of God. For better or for worse, that is a destiny that we shall choose for ourselves. If we shall align ourselves with the will of God or not, that is our choice.
And people are they're so cautious, like, oh, I don't want to be associated with like these redneck retards. You know, but
you are your brother's keeper. That is the first fucking lesson of
and that's
the
first
Bible.
Problem.
You are your brother's keeper. And you might cynically ask, am I my brother's keeper? As did Cain. God says yes. As a matter of fact, you are your brother's keeper. And while we're on the subject, where the fuck is he? And what did you do with him? You're your brother's keeper. You should have been keeping an eye on him. Where is he, Cain? Did you kill him yourself? Where does he go? And if the lesson is to be learned, Cain did, in fact, kill his brother. As a matter of fact, you know, Cain might have thought his brother was a Wignat, and he killed him. And God asked, where is Abel? And Cain asks, am I my brother's keeper? Do I look like the guy who knows where Abel is all the time? And God said, yes. Yes, you are. And he wasn't ready for that. He was exiled from the garden to be sent among the many nations. And he was afraid because there was no Wignat to stick up for him.
No Nick.
In the many nations. And he said, what am I to do? They will kill me. They will see me as a foreigner, an outsider. They will rebuke me and destroy me and my nations. Well, God sealed him with his blessing, but he was at a loss because there were no Wignats to stick up for. So remember that you are your brother's keeper, and your brother, well, he's a Wignat. And if your brother's a Wignat, well, you're. And that's all I have to say on that question.
Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, I think that's a good note to end on.
Yeah, so I think Wignats and Ignats, Igbo nationalists, should unite and...
well, the Igbo are the rightful rulers of Nigeria. And if you stick up for those fucking Yoruba retards, you are a dysgenic kike.
Yes. There are Nigerian National Socialists, or there's one on YouTube.
I'd believe it, and if there's any ethnicity deserving of dominance in Nigeria, it's the Igbo, because the Yoruba, they're retards, and you can look up the math behind it, the science behind it yourself.
Yep.
I've met Igbo, and I've met Yoruba, and just from basic conversation, you could tell the Igbo are, like, significantly more capable of running a civilization that's supposed to be on par with the global powers of the world as yeah. compared to the Yoruba. I mean, Nigeria, there's a fuck ton of people there. It's one of the fastest growing countries and economies on the planet. People like put it in, people talk about China, India, and Nigeria in the same vein. And there's, if Nigeria is supposed to be like an influential state in the world scene, it's only possible under Igbo supremacy.
Yeah. Well, and Dingo and Igbos unite. Well, my name is Anglo, and with I have...
unite, but I'll say cooperate.
Yes. Hey, all dingoes are... Wait, are Australians dingoes? Yeah, they're dingoes.
Yeah.
I almost forgot, because I've just been studying, so I sometimes forget words.
We haven't had Brad here in a long-ass time.
Yeah, so I forget what Australians are called.
Brad, but, if you're listening, reach out to us. We miss you.
We love you. Anyways, my name is Anglo, and with me I have the good old Nikkei.
Thank you for listening.
And shoot.